Say, give me two claps if you hear me. See, that's his problem, see? Give me two claps if you hear me. All right, let's find our seats. Get our blood flowing a little bit. Welcome once again to the Path Worship Service. It's good to be here with everybody today. I want us to keep praying for our sister Sean Patterson, who had surgery this past week, had shoulder surgery. So please be praying for her, and I pray for her as she recovers. I hear it's a tough recovery. You gotta kind of work it back into health. So we gave her some time off. We gave her this month on medical leave so that she can really focus on getting better. Okay, so feel free to encourage her, but we told her just take the time you need. So that she can feel better and recover. We believe in taking care of our ministers, and we know how hard Sean works on a consistent basis. So I say, hey, at least the month of December, even more, whatever you need, so that when you come back, you can be at full strength. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray for our service. God, we thank you so much for today, this beautiful day that you have made, God. Thank you for the rain, Lord God. We know the purposes that it has for our lives, God, even though it may be a little uncomfortable, Lord God. We thank you for your reign. We thank you, God, for everybody here today. Lord, we thank you for the love that we get to share with one another, the love that you put in our hearts, God. We thank you for this church, God. We thank you for your word that leads us and guides us and gives us the nourishment that we need spiritually to continue to fight and grow every single day. And we pray that today we can become more like your son, Jesus Christ, Father. Please help us. Open our eyes, our ears, Lord God, that we may be open to what you have to say to us today, Lord. God, that we don't miss it. Father, we want to hear from you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I was supposed to be an astronaut. Yeah, I was supposed to be an astronaut. When I was a little boy, I went to get evaluated, and I took my IQ test, and the doctor said that I had the IQ of an astronaut. Yeah, really? You can't believe it? What? What's? Oh, I chose to be a preacher. I mean, my mom was so proud. I mean, she's still proud. She still tells people to this day, you know, Angel had the IQ of an astronaut. He could have been an astronaut if he wanted to. And so she moved me up a grade. So I was always younger than everybody else, which socially is not a good thing, if anybody else can relate. It was a real struggle. But I held my own, so I would consider myself gifted at the time, a gifted child. I don't know what happened since, but at the time, I was gifted. I could have been an astronaut. But even in my days of having an astronaut IQ, I could not measure up to this little boy that we're going to see in this video.
They tell me that you know how to play the square game.
Yes, you just times it by itself.
Okay, so 9.
81?
Yes! 12 squared.
144.
What is 145 squared?
Whoa, that's a high. 21,025.
Okay.
No, you got it right. That's...
Yes.
Okay, 162 squared.
162 squared. The answer is 26,244.
I'm gonna see if you can do this right here. They told me I can write on this board.
Okay, okay. You can draw any number.
Okay. I'm going to make a number on this board, and I want you to tell me what that number is. Okay?
Are you ready yet?
Okay, hold on.
How?
Okay, here we go. Okay. Now, I'm showing the audience this number that I wrote.
Do I gotta say it without looking?
No, you gotta look. Let me explain something to you. If you can say this number without looking at it, we are so rich.
What?
We gonna make this much money by next summer.
I can't say it without looking.
Huh?
I can't say it without looking.
No, I know. Okay, step down here. Step down. Okay, now, right there. I want you to look. You stand right here. Look at it. Now, say that number for me.
876 quintillion, 946 quadrillion, 351 trillion, 798 billion, 345 million, 601,801.
This is the greatest kid in the world.
He says, this is the most amazing kid ever. You know, we often look at gifted people and we become enamored by the gift or by the person, right? Or both, instead of giving glory to the giver of the gift. Because if it's truly a gift, in that definition means that it was given to us, right? Free of charge. We don't deserve it. It's a gift. And so if it's truly a gift, then that person really can't take credit for the gift. We shouldn't take credit for the gift. We shouldn't. Now, often, if we don't take credit for the actual gift, we start taking credit for what we can do with that gift. Or we become so obsessed with what the gift can give us. Just like Steve Harvey said, if you can tell me what numbers are here, we're going to be rich. We're going to make this much money by next summer. Instead of thinking about how we can use the gift to serve others, we start thinking about, man, how can I use this? This is a gift that I have. How can I use this for me instead of for others? Which is one of the practical ways that we give glory to God, the great gift giver. And that is the title of my message today, The Great Gift Giver. We're going to pick things up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we continue our series, Church in the City. And we pick up here, and you know, the church struggled with just a few things, you know, the church in Corinth. And it really is a testament that if the church in Corinth, the Corinthian church, if they can be disciples, anybody can make it. Any church can make it. And we get to see a great example of how really they grew spiritually and matured with a little bit of help from God, the Holy Spirit, and their big brother, Paul. Here, the church was struggling on how to handle these new spiritual gifts that God had given them. So all of a sudden now, they had these miraculous gifts. And they were struggling in how to handle those gifts. They started becoming symbols of spiritual power, these gifts did. So where you would compare yourself and your gift to other people, and certain gifts were like, man, those gifts are amazing. The gifts of healing maybe, or prophesying, or speaking in tongues. And maybe the other gifts weren't, you know, as good or as powerful. And so people were struggling, and they started creating divisions in the church. There were people who were elevating themselves because of their gifts. And there were people who were elevating others because of their gifts. And it led to people who, like we do today, were struggling with insecurity, jealousy, selfish ambition, so on and so forth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 6, in verse 4 out of the NLT. says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. But my first point is the Spirit is the source. Spirit is the source. And the interesting thing about this is just so cool that we know from Acts 2:38 that the Spirit itself is a gift, right? It says that once we repent, we're baptized, you get the forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So really, the Holy Spirit is the gift that keeps on giving. Amen? Because the Spirit is the source of all spiritual gifts. It says that there are different gifts and different kinds of service, which means it's administrated in different ways, which really is talking about different ministries. So there's different gifts, different ministries, and different kinds of workings, which means the way that our gifts are lived out in these ministries. Different gifts, different service, different workings, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. How can it be so different and still be the same? What I love about this is it says that's okay to be different. It's okay to be different. We should value our differences as long as we're the same. And that we can be different while being the same. And so what we have to do is make sure that we value each other's differences. We have different personalities. We have different skill sets. We have different pasts. We have different cultures and races and mindsets and come from different, we have different earnings and we have different homes. There's a lot of differences even in this room, right? And instead of being fearful of those differences or looking down on those differences, really the Bible says, that's great. Different gifts, it's amazing. That's what makes life so interesting. Could you imagine if we were all the same, just walking around like robots? Man, but every single person is special, it's different. But the key is that we can't be so focused on being different that we're not the same anymore. Or we can't be so focused on being the same in God that we don't value our differences. Here he says there has to be a balance. We value our differences as long as we're the same and serving the same God. Amen? We keep on reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. He says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Man, did you know that was a gift? And some people just have the ability to communicate wisdom to other people, right? You've seen some people like that. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. So it's not just that they're knowledgeable. We got some smart people in this room. In this church, we have some smart people. But not only are they knowledgeable, but it says there's a gift to be able to communicate that knowledge to other people. It's a message of special knowledge. Verse 9, the same Spirit gives great faith to another. So everybody should have faith and trust in God, but this is a faith that goes above and beyond. You ever notice some people, they just are faithful people. They could just trust God in every situation. They're optimistic about things, right? Now, we all should have faith in God, but there's some people who have a special dose of faith, trust, and believe in God. That's a gift. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. And so some people were able to heal other people through the Holy Spirit. Wow. Can you imagine that? In verse 10, he gives one person the power to perform miracles. So literally, people had the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy, to speak a message from God. And we know that prophecy wasn't only to tell the future. Sometimes God did tell people the future and they communicated. But really, it was just people who were used by God to preach his message. And so that's a gift. That's an ability to prophesy, to hear from God and communicate that. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. The gift of discernment. First of all, we got to understand that there are spirits of God and there are other spirits. So anytime somebody says it's the spirit, what spirit are you talking about? It's clear. I mean, sometimes we're too naive to understand that we have to be discerning. And some of us have a greater gift to be able to do that. Some of us just know people, man. I mean, it's just like, hold up now. I don't know why that person is here. I don't know why that brother's trying to talk to me. Now, I don't know why that sister's dressed like that today. Just a spirit of discernment where you can tell there's something there. We got to know, hey, is the spirit of God? Is there another spirit? We need that. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. So they have the ability to communicate God's word in different languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. So I have never seen in the Bible a person that's able to speak in a different language and interpret it. So this, from what I read, it's usually two different people. And so God even made it that way so you would need each other. But some people will literally be able to speak in different languages to preach the word. Can you imagine that? Just somebody come up from wherever and they're able to communicate with them. That's incredible. And then somebody else was able to communicate that even though they weren't versed, they didn't go to school for their to learn Spanish, but all of a sudden they were able to understand that and say, oh, this is what he's saying. Wow. You know, I hear about a lot of people in the charismatic movement that claim to speak in different languages, sometimes in languages. Mostly it's an ecstatic heavenly languages. I don't know many that say they're actually speaking in different languages because we have Google Translator now and we can know. But I don't know how many people boast about the spiritual gift of translating, right? But that it's not common, but that's a gift here. In verse 11, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So he talks about all these gifts, and then he says, you know, it's all about the Spirit of God. The Spirit decides on the gift and distributes the gift. The Spirit is the source. He decides and he distributes. The Spirit is the gift that keeps on giving. Amen? So this should keep us humble, knowing that it is a gift that we don't deserve it, that it is God, it's the Spirit that has given it to us. So the gifts that we have, man, that should keep us humble. And true humility really leads us to have great faith because it's less about our ability and more about the Spirit's power. And so that should build our faith to know that it's about the Spirit. It should build our faith in the Spirit of God. And the more faithful we are, that leads to a healthy dose of confidence and self-esteem. Because we're okay with having weaknesses and challenges then. Because we know that the Spirit is greater and can overcome all of our weakness and challenges. So great faith leads to great security, self-confidence, self-esteem, to know that whatever we have lacking, God can make up. And whatever we don't have, you know what? We're blessed to be in a church where other people may have that. That's why we're better together than we are individually. Amen? So Christmas is coming up, and we're thinking about our gifts, and maybe some of us have already let people know what we want for Christmas, and maybe some of us have asked other people what they want for Christmas, and maybe we started doing our Christmas shopping. Anybody already started doing their Christmas shopping? Okay. Yeah. My wife is great about it. I mean, we shop all throughout the year. I mean, she has a little gift closet, and so we're basically done with Christmas shopping, which is a blessing in itself. Amen. And so, you know, most of us have a tradition where we open up our gifts in front of the family because, you know, we want to see how that person responds to the gift, right? I mean, it's good to give it to them, but when you ever had a really good gift that you want to give to somebody, like, man, this person's going to love this thing right here, man. I just can't wait, especially us parents, right? I just can't wait to see what happens when they tear open that box and they see it's what they've been wanting. And I don't know about you, but there's been times where I thought they would like it more than they really did. And there are times when people thought I would like it more than I really did. You ever have that awkward, like, you're forcing yourself to look really grateful. It's a wooden spoon. Thank you. And it's so hard. You just know that you are trying really hard to be encouraging. Man, it's hard for me. I am not good at my poker face is not that good. So I just tell my parents know me so well, they just give me the receipt. And like, go. So Jimmy Kimmel asked viewers to do a little experiment with their children and to give them terrible gifts and have them open it up, and we could see their expressions in this video coming up.
What is it?
An old banana.
An old banana? Isn't that exciting?
No.
What are you doing?
Pushing it.
Okay.
What is that?
I got a girl activity book with stickers. I'm not a girl.
Me, I'm not a boy.
I'm not a boy either.
The worst present ever.
Marissa, what do you tell me all the time about my cooking?
I love it.
You love my cooking, so I made you something.
You should appreciate her getting us a present, but I didn't know it would be like that.
So you don't want that peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I'll eat it.
Open it up. You didn't want that for Christmas?
You stinking parents! Take this back!
Take it back where? This is yours.
I want a refund!
What? I got ponies!
That was your great-grandpa's hammer.
I got ponies!
What's the price? What's wrong? You're not excited about your presents?
I got ponies. I don't want ponies. They're for girls.
Guys,
mine is a stupid book.
We thought really hard about what to get you this year.
Well, you didn't do a very good job.
It's the worst Christmas I ever had.
So, before we move on, there's a couple of people that may receive the terrible gift of getting towed. So, if you parked right outside of the school building, go ahead and move your car, because I would hate for you to receive the terrible gift of being towed. Amen. We ain't gonna judge you if you need to stand up right now and go get your car. All right. So let's talk about this for a little bit. Now, granted, these were terrible gifts. On purpose, right? That's not right. These parents just ain't right. But some of us are the same way when we discover our spiritual gifts. Let's break it down. That little dude said, "You are terrible." She said, "You stinking parents. I want a refund." Some of us are the same way. We look at our lives, we look at our strengths, and we say, "God, I want a refund. Or at least I want something, I want to exchange this thing. Take it back. I didn't want this gift, I wanted that gift." Or we say, "Well, you know, God, I distribute, I choose, I decided to distribute it. So I thought really hard about what gift we wanted you to have." And he said, "Well, you didn't do a very good job." And sometimes we can look at our spiritual gifts, at our strengths, and we say, "You know what, God? Well, you didn't do a very good job." And we think we know better than the Spirit. of what our strengths and our weaknesses are, what our gifts are. And then it's convicting that one boy and girl, and that girl got that peanut butter and jelly sandwich. The brother was like, "You need to appreciate it." That brother was like, "I'll eat it. I'll eat it." Guess what? You better appreciate it, because there's most likely somebody else that would want the gift that you have. And sometimes other people can see our gifts and our abilities and value them more than we value them ourselves. And I'm not saying that we need to be prideful, because we already talked about it. It's a gift. It's not ours. So we should stay humble. But we have to be, we got to be grateful and confident and really in awe of the gifts that God gives us. Got to be grateful. We got to embrace the spirit, the gifts the Spirit gives us. Because there's nothing like, man, discovering your gift and actually living it out and using your gift to serve others. Because that's the thing. Sometimes we see our gifts, we may be okay with it, but we're not really using it to serve other people. And we're never going to find the joy that the Spirit wants us to find, because that is the fruit of the Spirit, joy, if we're not serving other people with our gifts. Amen. And so, but when you do, when you're like, man, this is my gift, I love this, I'm serving, and this is amazing, you just feel alive. And I don't know how many of us have ever been in that sweet spot where you just feel like, oh, man, this is what I was born to do. I'm loving this. You know, I kind of feel that way right now with FCA at North Clayton. It's just amazing. God just continues to bless it. And so, you know, we wrapped up our football season, and it was amazing. Went to the playoffs for the first time in like 7 years. It was incredible. And so there was, of course, Thanksgiving break. But I talked to Coach Capo. I said, "Coach Capo, what do you want to do now?" Coach Cap's like, "I was going to call you and ask you the same thing, because we got to keep this thing going." I said, "All right, Coach Cap, so what you want to do?" "All right, well, I already talked to boys basketball and wrestling, so we're going to have character ed, the devotionals that I do. We're going to have, at least with both of those teams, we're going to have that." I said, "Okay, well, let's keep doing it on Wednesdays." I was coming down on Wednesday. "Let's keep doing it on Wednesdays." He's like, "Okay, let's do it." And so I said, "Well, why don't we get up for lunch as well that Wednesday, catch up, so on and so forth, look at scriptures." He was like, "Oh, man, I want to do that." And so that leading up to this past Wednesday, praying about it, and Coach Cap walks into Chick-fil-A. I said, "What's going on, man?" "Oh, everything's good, man. I just want to let you know, we got track, too." "What you mean we got track?" "Well, you know, I told you we got wrestling, the wrestling team coming. We got the boys basketball team coming, and I got track to come, too." I said, "Okay, amen." So we had lunch. We hang out, get into the scriptures. And then, so he goes back to work, and I get a call before I come up there. He said, "Pastor Angel, I want to let you know, I got girls basketball, too." So what you see on that is that's about 80-plus kids, and there's other coaches, close to 100 people, that Coach Cap himself said, "You know what, we got to keep this thing going." So he introduces me to the students that didn't know me, and he shared, and he said, "You know what, this was great for our program, but Pastor Angel, he's not only the character coach for the football team anymore, he's the character coach for North Clayton High School." He gave me a promotion on this. I said, "Okay, amen, thank you. I guess I'm the character coach for North Clayton High School." But it was so cool, because we talked about how God in James 4:17 talks about how every good and perfect gift is from above. And we talked about that in reference to Thanksgiving and being grateful. And so I had done that devotional with my family, and we memorized the scripture. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And we do this thing like spiritual curriculum where we put a little song to it, you know, and every good and perfect gift is from above. And, you know, you do the hand signals and the kids get it. And so I taught it to the high school students. I said, "We're going to learn it like I taught my daughters." And they were into it. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Can we do it together? Every good and perfect gift is from above. One more time. Every good and perfect gift is from above. It's got a little ring to it, doesn't it? It was so cool, because What we learn from this, and it goes on, it comes down from God who doesn't change like shifting shadows. And it's just, man, God is not like those bad, bad parents who gives terrible gifts to their children. He's not playing a practical trick on us, recording us to see how we're going to respond. He's a good father. In Matthew 7:11 says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? God is a good father who gives good gifts, the great gift giver. And I've seen this to be true in my life. I mean, even this past week, we've been working with our budget, seeing where we're going to end up. And so we had a meeting actually on that same day, on Wednesday, with Griselda in the morning. And my prayer all year was that we'd be able to balance our budget on our own, that as a church, we can meet the needs of this church. We talked, and it didn't look like we were going to be able to do that. So we weren't going to be able to do that. But we were getting a special contribution from Northview Church, who's a great partner to us and believes in what we're doing. And so we're going to use some of that to be able to balance our budget. And I'm like, amen, this is where we're at. We did good. I know, man, God's going to continue to bless our sacrifice. And then after practice that day, I got a text from Griselda, give me a call. And so I call her, and she says, man, something didn't add up about those numbers. So I went back over the numbers all the way to last year and worked through all the numbers and double-checked everything. And she said, Angel, we actually balanced our projected to balance our budget. See, I don't know how I messed this up. I don't know how I didn't see this, but that deficit, there's no deficit. It looks like we're going to be able to balance our budget. And I got chills because she didn't know that was my impossible prayer for all year. And I got chills, man, because God had been working on my heart all week. I mean, literally, that Thanksgiving weekend, I'm looking and I started studying out the names of God. And the first one, because Quay's been doing it with his Bible talk, and I saw a reading plan on the Bible app, the names of God. And the first one is Jehovah Jireh, the provider, God the provider. I said, amen, this is amazing. And it showed this story about Abraham going up to sacrifice his son. And on the way up, Isaac's like, where's the offering? Where's the offering? And Abraham's like, God will provide. And so he goes up, and of course he provides. And I'm like, man, it's on the mountain of sacrifice that God provides. And then I'm like, man, it's convicting because Abraham's wanted an offering, but not for himself, but as a sacrifice. When's the last time we asked God for something we can sacrifice? Not for something we can use on our own, for ourselves. I'm talking about when's the last time we asked something from God that we can just straight up sacrifice. God, give me this so I can give it. Man, that's what Abraham did. He said, God's going to provide. And so I saw that. And then the next day, I'm reading my God's at War book, and it's on the false god of money. And the false god of money at the very end says, Jesus is my provider. I'm like, God, I don't know what you're trying to tell me. I don't know what you're trying to prepare me for. I thought it was something bad. I'm like, okay, God, I'm getting my heart prepared. I don't know what you're doing. That week we had our family devo on the same thing, that God is our provider. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And then I get that call from her sharing that with me. And I was just blown away. Just blown away by what God is doing in this church through us. It's just amazing. Is now what we've been fighting for, what we've been shooting for, what we've been going for, what we've been sacrificing for, looks like it's going to be able to happen. Where we're going to go into the new year balanced. We're going to have some money in the bank. Our finances are getting better and better. God willing, it looks like we're going to be able to hire Jazz. We got that GoFundMe account. It's just incredible what God is doing. And so thank you. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your sacrifice. And thank you for being on this journey together. Amen. Yeah. Give you a round of applause. Thank you. We get to see some amazing things. We had a board meeting on Thursday night. We got to present a balanced budget for 2017. That is, you don't know the weight that comes off of a preacher when you don't got to worry about money like that. So thank you so much. I'm so grateful. God is a good father who gives good gifts, and one of those gifts is the church. Point number two, beautiful body of believers. beautiful body of believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. We, as a church, are a part of the body of Christ, or we're an important part of the body. And us as individuals are an integral part of the body of Christ at large, the universal church of the living God. But here Paul is focusing on this specific congregation. He's saying that individually, we are all an important part of this body, the Corinthian church. For us, it is for the path. Everybody is important. He was trying to help them understand that they were a unit, and he's trying to help us understand we're a unit. And it's amazing the things we can accomplish together. When we understand we're a unit moving together, it's incredible. So in verse 14, it says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We belong to the body. And this concept attacks our individualistic, selfish, and self-sufficient sinful nature. It attacks it because it tells we need each other. We cannot separate our relationship with God with our relationship with our brothers and sisters. We cannot say we love God and hate our neighbor. So because I love God, I strive to make decisions that will make a positive impact in the lives of those around me. Because I love God, I serve others. Because I love God, I deny myself certain freedoms for the good of others. There's got to be a commitment to one another. We don't have the freedom to just say, well, it's just me and God, and whatever I want to do, I can do, because it's part of my journey with God, and not think about the consequences of the people around us. I can't do that. I can't just decide I want to do what I want to do, take a break. I can't decide that. I can't decide I want to go experiment in the world right now just because this is what I want to do. I can't decide that. Why? Because I have a wife. I have daughters. I have friends. I have family. I have a church that is looking to me to get encouragement and inspiration. And that would hurt so many people in my life. And because I love God, I'm not going to do that. And because you love God, you should not do that. It's got to be commitment to one another. We're so hypocritical when it comes to this commitment thing, man. We're so hypocritical. We want people to be committed to us and to be loyal to us, but we want the freedom to do what we want to do, especially when things get hard. You see it in marriage, but you see it in relationships all the time. You see it in this church all the time. Selfish people get up and say, I'm gone. Selfish people get up and say, I'm going to do this because I want to do it, and then you guys should still love me and do everything, and then nothing should change. No. We can't be hypocritical in that. We got to set that standard and have that conviction to love others, consider others above ourselves because we love God. We can't separate the two. Midweek series, we're going to start our midweek series in a new year. We're going to call it Family Time. And we're going to go through a series of lessons of what it means to be a part of this family. The expectations that we have for one another, expectation God has for us. So we're going to be going into that a little bit more. Keep reading in verse 22. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. This body metaphor was actually used for centuries leading up to Paul writing this. Dating as far back as Plato in the 5th century BC, all the way up to Epictetus, who was one of Paul's contemporaries. So this was a well-known rhetorical device that people would use. And here, Paul's using it in a different way. So there's a famous speech that Senator Menenius Agrippa gave during a worker strike. So this senator, he compared the city to the human body. And so he was using this analogy of the body as political propaganda. And so he wanted to get the slaves back to work who were on the strike. And he was saying, listen, everybody has a role. We need you. If you don't work, then how will the rich people get to eat? How will the other people get their needs met? Everybody is needed. You are important because we need all types of people to make the society work. So it's a concept of the poor people, the slaves, the weak people. You got to work the hardest to help everybody else. But Paul's flipping it around here. He literally flips this body metaphor on its head, and he uses it to say that, no, not that the weak should serve the strong, but that the strong should serve the weak. That those who are visible should pay attention to those who are hidden or overlooked because they're just as valuable. That everyone has dignity, everyone has a place, everyone matters because the same Spirit is working in each and every one of us. That's what makes us so valuable. It's the little piece of God that's inside of every single one of us. No matter what we look like, no matter what we're going through, no matter how much money we have, we don't have, what education, it's God himself is living inside your brother and sister. Do you see them with that much value? You know, I got to see this concept firsthand when I logged onto Facebook a couple of weeks ago and saw a post from Miss Linda's daughter, Fran. She was like, man, the choir from my mom's church came and sang to her today. This was a couple of Sundays ago, and I pulled the video off so that we can see it and be inspired ourselves.
You make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. And everything about you is right.
It covers all my wrongs.
You're right.
Save my life.
And everything about you is right.
Man, I logged on and saw that. I about cried. I got emotional. I said, we got a church now. I mean, we this is what it's about. This is what it's about. I didn't know who planned. I didn't plan. Jazz was out of town. I mean, it was just so amazing. So amazing to see the body work the way it should work. So thank you. Thank you, singers, for serving our sister, Miss Linda, who's, those of you who don't know, she's battling cancer. She's battling cancer. She's weak. She can't. And you saw her. She's crying. Tears are falling down her face. Just to hear God's people singing about God, helping her connect with God. That's the impact that all of us can have when we use our gift to serve others. Amen? You know, as we wrap up here, verse 26, it says, if one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And one part is honored, all parts are glad. The concept of being united as the body of Christ isn't just like a mental acknowledgement of a spiritual reality. When we're truly being the body, we are united emotionally with one another. And so when one part suffers, we all suffer. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. If they're honored, we rejoice with them. And so this is how connected we should be to one another, that if someone is rejoicing and you can't rejoice with them, there's something wrong. If someone is mourning, going through a hard time, and you don't feel their pain, there's something wrong. If you're cold and you can come to church and leave, and you're really not involved in other people's lives, and then you're not affected emotionally by where they are, or what's going on, good or bad, you're not really living this stuff out. You're not. This is how connected we should be. You know, at the same time, we can't allow ourselves to start struggling spiritually when somebody else is struggling spiritually. So that's called an unhealthy attachment or being codependent. There has to be some healthy boundaries that we can mourn with somebody, but it doesn't mean that we have to be in sin with somebody or be so distraught emotionally that we cannot connect with God. And we start struggling with our faith in God. Galatians 6:1 talks about that. If someone's caught in sin, those who are spiritual should restore them gently. Watch yourselves so that you may not be tempted. And then he says, carry each other's burdens, because in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But at the end of that, in verse 5, it says, each one should carry their own load. Man, you look at that, it's like, wait, we're supposed to carry each other's burdens, but everybody should carry their own load? Yes. It's not either or. It's and. What does it mean to carry each other's burdens? We should be praying for them. We can mourn with them. We can serve them. But sometimes we're trying to help people that don't want to be helped. And we struggle and we're frustrated. And guess what? There's things that God does not take away from us. There's things that God does not take away from Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, let this cup be taken from me. God said no. We can't take stuff from people that God doesn't want to take from people and that they may not want to take from themselves. We can't try to have that much power in people's lives. There has to be a healthy connection with our brothers and sisters. We cannot go on this emotional roller coaster, brothers and sisters, when our brothers and sisters struggle spiritually. Or even when they decide they want to leave the church, or leave God, or even when people are asked to withdraw fellowship or membership. We cannot, as part of maturity, we cannot go on these emotional roller coasters that hinder our relationship with God. That's why in verse 1 it says, those who live by the Spirit, Galatians 6:1, those who are spiritual, those who are mature enough to handle it. Why? Because a spiritual battle is real. And we got to protect our hearts so that we don't get thrown off by other people's issues. And we got to find peace in God that everybody has their own journey while we journey together. I know that's hard to understand, but that's the way God made it. Verse 27, the rest of this says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed to the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, then those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not! So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now, let me show you a way of life that is the best of all. And NIV says, now we'll show you the most excellent way. So you'll have to come back next week to hear and find out what that is. Or you can just read chapter 13 on your own. Let us pray for our communion. God, we thank you so much for the body of Christ. We thank you so much that we get to be part of a beautiful body of believers. And you look down and you look at us as beautiful because we have a little part of you inside of us. We are literally family, blood family, Lord God. You adopted us into your family, God. We are so honored and grateful, God, to be part of the body of Christ. We're so honored and grateful to be part of this church, Lord God. We're so amazed by all the different people with different backgrounds and all the different gifts and talents that you give us, God. And I pray that we can make the most of that as we work together as a unit to accomplish great things for you, Lord God. We thank you that you're the great gift giver, God. We thank you that the Spirit is the source of all these gifts to help us stay humble, God. God, we thank you that you gave us the gift of Jesus Christ, who died for our sin that we can participate in communion right now to remember his sacrifice. As we take the cracker and the juice that represents his body that was broken, his blood that was shed, so that we can be a part of your family, God. Help us have grateful hearts today. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.